I've got to lay a little bit more groundwork here for this big breaking news story out of Plentywood, Montana, that broke yesterday. Now, many of you may not have heard anything about this. In fact, I scanned some of the Montana news sources, TV, newspapers, others, didn't see anything about this. The only way I heard about this story was through some of my very good contacts that I have, thanks to doing a radio show like this here in Montana. I've got very good contacts, very good sources. And so my sources, my contacts, sent me the news stories from Canada. So there's dozens of news stories about this man who was arrested crossing the border into Montana on foot from Canada. Basically, he's being politically persecuted over mask mandates and lockdown measures up in Canada. And so apparently he was arrested by Border Patrol near Plentywood yesterday morning while crossing on foot. And so my question is this an asylum case? Is this a political asylum case here? Anyway, U.S. Border, this is from a CBP spokesperson. I reached out them for official comment here. They said U.S. Border Patrol agents from the Plentywood Border Patrol station arrested a citizen of Canada for entering the country illegally on foot near Plentywood, Montana. Plentywood Station Border Patrol agents were contacted by the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office requesting assistance in searching for a subject who was lost near the Montana-North Dakota state line. A supervisory Border Patrol agent encountered a subject fitting the description of the lost subject wandering on foot. The subject was questioned and found to be Kevin Johnston, a Canadian fugitive wanted by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Mr. Johnston is being processed and turned over to Canada Border Services Agency. So anyway, that was the official response from the CBP. I followed up with a couple questions of my own, which are, hey, is he and can he seek political asylum here in the United States? And then the other question I had is he still in Montana or has he already been deported? So anyway, those were a couple follow-up questions I had. But my contacts were also telling me that they've got folks trying to help this man, folks here in America, friends of his that are trying to help him with this case. And so we have one of his friends on the phone lines with us right now. This is April Lejeune from Kansas City, Missouri. April, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I am one of his friends. And I've been a friend of his for quite some time with those podcasts. And just so you know, I used to work for ABC News many years ago and quit because of the lies that they were spewing back then. So that's a little background on me.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, it seems pretty obvious that he's being politically persecuted because of the crazy lockdown measures in Canada. So have you been able to talk with him? What have you heard from him?
I literally just talked to him like less than an hour ago. He was able to call. And as I thought, the news is reporting it wrong. He was deported back to Canada within an hour.
Really?
Okay.
Huh.
Yes. And there was no plan. Like, people keep trying to think that there's some kind of plan. And the only thing that I had talked to him about was seeking asylum in the United States of America. And when he called me and told me he was lost, I was like, what are you talking about? I tried to get him to share his Google Maps and stuff. And I don't know if he was disoriented or couldn't or whatever, but I had to give him instructions how to do that. And when I saw where he was in Canada. And so I was like, okay, walk through the road, and I'll have one of your friends come and get you. Next thing I know, he's in the United States. So I was like, what are you doing? And he couldn't really coherently tell me where he was.
Really? So this is interesting. So you were in contact with him prior to his arrest by U.S. Border Patrol. And so what was his plan? Was this a plan to approach a U.S. Border Patrol station and then request political asylum? Was that part of the initial plan, or what was the initial plan?
I guess that was the initial plan. I mean, that's what we told him to do if he was going to try to seek asylum, that he needed to try to find somebody that he could go to and ask for the political asylum, and they what was supposed to happen is Border Patrol is supposed to give him papers right away as soon as he says that. They're supposed to give him asylum papers right then. He's supposed to fill them out right then, and they're supposed to hang on to him until a judge decides whether or not he can seek political asylum. That is not what the Border Patrol actually did. And when I talked to him, I asked him, you know, well, what did they give you the papers? And he said, no, that he not only did they not give him the papers after he begged them for political asylum, they also took $5,000 of his money. And which is about typical down, you know, around here, as far as I've noticed, that they will take your money, they will take your stuff, and they will not listen to anything you have to say. Now, if he would have been Mexican, he would have been, you know, rolled out the red carpet. They would have said, oh, sure, yeah, you know, you can stay over here.
A Canadian man who has been a, you know, a prominent critic of mask mandates and lockdowns, who has been facing jail time over attending large gatherings. He's also been criticized in the Canadian press for back and forth disputes with some prominent Muslim business folks. And so one of the things that I've heard from our mutual contacts here, as we talk with a friend of his on the show right now, is that one of his fears is that if he ends up going back into jail in Canada, that he is a target of some of the Muslim elements in Canada, and that they will kill him. That's one of the fears that I've been hearing from our mutual contact here. Anyway, a friend of Kevin Johnston, who was arrested in Plentywood, Montana yesterday after crossing the U.S. border, April Lejeune, is with us now on the show. And we will get your phone calls here in just a few minutes. But yeah, April, this is a big story, so we greatly appreciate your phone call this morning. So you said you spoke with him about an hour ago. Within an hour, he was already turned back over to the Canadian authorities. So even if we wanted to try to help him get political asylum at this point, he was already turned over 24 hours ago. So there's no chance. What did he have is that accurate? And what did he tell you when you spoke with him?
Well, I knew that he was turned over pretty fast. And so I asked him, I said, were you there like about an hour and they turned you over? And he said, yes. And that is not proper procedure, especially for someone seeking asylum. And he also said that they had taken $5,000 of his. And then they just turned him right over to the very people that he said that he is afraid they're going to try to kill him. And it doesn't make any sense to me why the Border Patrol would think that they could just do whatever they want and turn him over. We were told that he needed to request the papers from the Border Patrol, and that they would give him the papers and that he would be able to fill them out immediately when he asked. And they did not do that. So my question is, why didn't they do it? It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, the only reason that I got involved is because he called me and he seemed like he was disoriented. And I was like, you know, we got to find out where you are. I don't know where you are. And so anyway, when he couldn't really coherently tell me where he was, and it had been hours and hours and hours since I heard from him, I thought, you know what, I just got to call Border Patrol because I don't know. And I figured that they would follow procedure. They didn't. They did not do that. And they didn't do it, and I'm pretty sure they didn't do it on purpose, because I've never heard of anybody being put back into the custody of the perpetrator within minutes.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, of course, in Montana, I mean, our border is nowhere near overwhelmed like they are on the southern border. So that, I mean, I could understand why things might happen a little more quickly here on our border. But on the other hand, we look at our southern border. In fact, I've got listeners in Canada because, you know, our radio airwaves can legally cross the border, like it or not. And so we've got great listeners in Alberta and Saskatchewan. And they've been unable to come to Montana to visit their own family members. But yet our southern border is completely wide open. People break into this country illegally, claiming asylum or not, and they get to stay here, and then they get flown all over the country afterwards and allowed to stay.
Exactly. That's why we figured they would, well, I figured they would most likely follow procedure, and let him file the papers. Because, I mean, what is it that is personally offensive to the Border Patrol that they can't allow a guy to fill out papers, especially when he's telling you that it's political persecution? And I've read his charges, and they're just stupid. I mean, he's being charged with speaking out against the corruption in Canada. That is the bottom line. And he should be. Those are inalienable rights that are granted to us by God. Their problem is they don't have the Constitution like we do. And
yeah,
their government is so corrupt.
Well, and at this point, I don't know what we can do. Now, if he indeed has already been turned over, because that was a follow-up question I sent to the CBP spokesperson to find out if he has already been sent back to Canada, because, yeah, based on your call, it sounds like he already has. So what could we do at this point? Well, April, I greatly appreciate your phone call. That is fascinating insight to hear, because I know when a lot of us hear this story, it's, you know, you're like, oh, wow, he's crossing into a field, walked across the border, gets picked up by Border Patrol. Is this an asylum case? Certainly sounds that way. You know, one name that probably came to mind for many of you when you hear a story about, you know, a Canadian being arrested, facing jail time, being politically persecuted for being against these mask mandates and these other nonsensical lockdown restrictions. I hope I pronounce his, well, actually, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, because I remember reading his story. I remember talking about his story here on this show. And apparently he is now with us on the phone lines, a pastor from Alberta, Canada. Pastor, thanks for calling in. It's an honor to chat with you.
Thank you so much. Yes, here is Pastor Art Palowski from Calgary, Alberta.
That's right. Pastor Palowski. Yes. Yeah, you were the pastor who you were trying to just simply hold a church service. And this wasn't a mega church service. And boy, they came in and tried to kick you out, right?
I have been arrested a dozen times, and I now have over 40 COVID tickets as we speak. And I was just arrested on the 1st of January, SWAT style, in the middle of the highway, highly dangerous arrest again, and I'm facing multiple charges again for the same offense. My offenses are inciting people to come to church, officiating a church service, and participating in illegal gathering, which is a church service. So I have been fighting this from the very beginning, and I refuse to shut down the church, and I refuse to do what I do for 22 years, which is feeding the homeless people on the streets of Calgary. Especially now during these difficult times, they need us more than ever. I have been a pastor for Kevin J. Johnston. I did my best to counsel him, and I've told him to stay in Canada and fight alongside people like us, the system. However, the system is so corrupted. He just called me from jail. He is deported. Within 5 hours, he was deported to Saskatchewan. He is in the police custody in Saskatchewan, in Canada already. He has a fatwa on his head by a political Muslims in Ontario and a people that are very dangerous. He has been attacked multiple times, threatened multiple times that he's going to be murdered. And he was so desperate. When the last time I saw him, he was shaken. He was desperate. He says, I'm afraid I'm going to die. They're going to murder me. I have to run. I have to run. And I did my best to tell him to stay, but when you're so desperate and when you have been hammered by corrupted government, corrupted judges for so long, like, I don't know if you remember the judge, we had the same judge, Adam Germain. He told me I cannot preach anymore for 1.5 years without giving a compelled speech, a mandatory Soviet-style speech every time I preach in the church or I do media interview or social networks. I mean, that's how insane Canada has become. On one side of the country, you're allowing hundreds of thousands of illegals to cross the borders, no problem.
Back to Pastor Arthur Palowski here. I definitely want to talk more with you here in the coming days, because I promised we'd get back to some more callers here. But Pastor, you know, you were talking about really these Soviet style tactics that are going on in Canada. And if I remember right, you have had firsthand experience with Soviet style tactics.
Right. That's right. I grew up in Poland behind the Iron Curtain under the boots of the Soviets. I remember never ending lineups, economy completely crushed, destroyed, inflation like you can't imagine. And guns, machine guns, gangsters in uniforms, because they were not police officers. Just like we don't have police officers in Canada anymore, we have gangsters that are listening not to the people that hire them, but to the politicians, and they are working for them, for the elite. I've seen the tanks on the streets, but I also have seen with my own eyes the solidarity movement, when finally people rose and said, enough is enough, we're not your slaves. Kevin J. Johnston called me from jail just about a half an hour ago. And here is what this story, I think this is the most shocking part of the story. He said, I asked them for the paperwork. I am seeking asylum. I'm begging you. I will be murdered back in Canada. Please don't take me back. I want to fill the paperwork. I want to stay here until you can properly hear my plea, hear the case. No, no, no. And he was, within a few hours, shipped back to the hands of the Gestapo, where he called me shaken. He says, they're going to murder me. I will not survive this.
Well, I know it's sad to hear that. And to confirm, because, I mean, I didn't even hear about this story until very early this morning. I don't think it's been in any of the other Montana press at all yet. And when I first saw this, I was like, well, what can we do to help? I mean, I get it. Maybe he's controversial. But you know what? He's clearly being politically prosecuted. It sounds like his life is in danger because of Islamic extremists in Canada, especially inside the jails. And so what can we do to help? And now, well, they've already turned him back over. It's just so frustrating. Well, Pastor Arthur Pulowski, an honor to get a phone call from you. I want to talk more, so I got his email during the break. But thanks so much for calling in. Great to chat with you this morning.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your willingness to help us behind the Iron Curtain.
Well, and we've still got those curtains here in this country. believe me, brother, as you very well know.